Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and you know who that most wonderful guy is that comes with me, don't you?
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everybody. This is Richard.
I just love it when he really does answer that. I figure one of these days he's going to hang me high and dry and not answer.
Would I do that?
You wouldn't play that on me, would you? He's laughing.
Of course I'd hang you out to dry.
Yeah. You got to watch out for Aussies. You never know when they're going to play a joke on you. Anyway, my friends, I'm just delighted to be here. And as you know, it's one of my favorite times of the week when I can connect with you and you can connect with us and share thoughts and questions and answers. It's just a beautiful thing. And if you get our email, you know that Michael Jackson is going to be on the show again. And if you follow our shows, you know that Michael Jackson has been on the show before. Now, what, you might say, influenced us to have him back on the show was we were looking at a program that we put a link to it. I wanted you, hopefully, to look at this link before we actually had Michael do this show tonight. It's on YouTube, as so many really great things are on YouTube. And in my opinion, it showed another side of Michael. And when I saw this side of Michael, I was so touched. It actually brought tears to my eyes. And I don't say that lightly. It did. It was so beautiful. I felt caught up into what Michael was doing, his ideals, the words that he used. And it's why we added that link to the discussion tonight. I'm hoping that you saw it because it awakened aspects in me that were very loving. This idea that people can all love other people, that we can make this a better place, that we can speak for those who do not have the power to speak for themselves, namely children. And I was so caught up in the work that Michael was doing for children and the love that he had for children, and not only for children, but for all of humanity, that I decided that this had to be another show with Michael. So, not saying any more about it, I'm going to call in Rich now. I figure you're on the other side listening to this.
Yeah, well, I'm not on the other side. I'm on the same side as you.
Other side of the office, okay.
Oh, is that what you mean?
Yeah, the other side of the office. I didn't expect him to be on the other side, though. I have to say, sometimes he goes to the other side to talk to people like he's going to do tonight. I want to say about Richard, he is so generous with his time, with his energy. No one really understands, unless you do this kind of work yourself, the amount of energy that it takes, the amount of focus, dedication, and he does it so beautifully. And I do this kind of work also, and I feel that I'm in a good place to be able to mention this to people because I know what it takes. And so before we begin, I just wanted to offer kudos to you, Richard, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And tell me, with all of this talk about Michael, is he there?
He is hanging around here somewhere, I think, yes. Yes. I feel his beautiful energy.
I want you to talk a little about his energy, would you?
Yes. Again, there's this purity in his energy, which is unusual, beautiful, pure, innocent love is how I would describe how I experience him. Again, I've spoken about this spectrum, and he's just slightly left of the center of my heart, if you will, just a little to the left of my chest, if you will. And again, this beautiful, gentle, pure is the word I would use, almost a singularity of energy. It's very interesting. Particular kind of love is the overriding sense I have from Michael.
That's beautiful. And for those of you who might be new to this radio show, if you would like a closer connection with Michael as we go through this, just imagine in your third eye, which is in the center of your forehead, imagine a picture of Michael there. Heavens knows, y'all know what he looks like. Just see a picture of him and call his name. You can do it quietly. You don't have to do it out loud. And you will have a close connection to him. You might feel his energy, and you might see him in a different way. We have callers who are lining up to talk to you, Michael, but before we get to them, what I would like for you to do, if you would, tell Richard the message that you have prepared for those who are listening to you.
And Michael is here, and he is saying, "My dear friends, it is an honor to return to this wonderful program, this wonderful outlet that these two create for individuals such as myself to step forth in this manner, to bring to those who listen to this radio show or the subsequent recording information that I can share from my perspective and others can share from their perspective on the other side. It is a unique opportunity, and I thank the two of them for allowing me to come forth in this way once more. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak about these aspects of my work, because there were, as you no doubt know, those who wished to discredit the things that I stood for in the world. There were those who sought to prosecute me for molesting children, and the notion is so far from anything I could possibly consider that it is impossible for me to imagine such an unfolding, or indeed that people should take such a position in regard to me. And it is that disbelief, you might say, that opened me to interact with children in ways that you might judge as being a little naive in my personal life. I mention that in passing because my focus with children was really to acknowledge the importance of children, how they are, you might say, a clean slate when they are born into this world in so many ways. Yes, I understand they carry their own karmic stories, but from the point of view of experience in this life, they are a clean slate. And in a way, that child's parents, if those parents are around, write on that slate and in a way define how that child begins to experience life and assess life and judge life, whether it is safe, whether it is a playground, or whether it is threatening. All of these views and perceptions and attitudes are to a large degree fashioned by that child's parents. And we all as parents carry such a responsibility for the bringing forth of our children, and it is a responsibility that most parents, or many parents at least, do not understand in its fullness. And whilst I was present on the planet, I sought to be a champion for those children that were disenfranchised in one way or another because they lived in countries where they were poor and malnourished, or because they were ill in some manner and were hospitalized. I made it a point as I toured to visit children's hospitals wherever I went to make my time available to them, to perhaps brighten their days and give them something to remember, something to reach out for in their difficult times that might just make the difference for some of those children to survive their challenging and difficult experiences. My primary focus with children in hospital was those with cancer, though that was not the only place I focused. And in my small way, seeking to give those children a little more to live for was a key focus of my work. And so this was a great passion of mine, and I contributed a great deal of money to charities to support children in particular in underdeveloped countries, and indeed I had a vision of creating hospitals around the world, though that did not get very far. But I mention these things because it was a great passion of mine. I had a great desire to see all of the children of the world have the opportunity to, you might say, hit the ground running, to be supported by their parents, to be opened up to the possibilities and opportunities that human life represents, an opportunity to live in joy and peace and love. And this was my objective. You might say it was unrealistic in the current context, but that is not a reason to not try, to do all that you can to awaken people to this important role as a parent. And so my focus on children was a very powerful one, and I sought to be an example with my own children. I encouraged them in any way that I could to play and to inquire and to question and to examine. And I supported that experimentation. It is one of the reasons I set up what you might consider a very large playground, if you will, not only for my interests, but for those of my children and their friends who might come, so that they might have the opportunity to play freely in a safe environment. This was very important to me. And so my focus on children was certainly a very significant part of what I sought to give to the world based on the opportunity to give that came to me through the income I was able to generate from my music. And my focus was not just about children. It was also about seeking to bring peace to the world, to see the world healed, to see the world move beyond this warring and the model of starvation and deprivation for so many, when it was very clear to me that the world did not really lack food. What it lacked was the distribution of food. And I, in my life, never really understood why those issues were never solved. It is only since I have been on this side that I have understood the agendas of those who wish to control all of the wealth of the world for their own purposes, for their own agendas, and indeed they wish to see the population of the world reduced. And I recognize that these issues really can only be solved by a shift in consciousness on the planet, which I'm sure all of those listening to this program understand is, you might say, scheduled for the end of this year. And so children, peace in the world, and indeed humanity living in balance with the world, reclaiming that balance, finding a way to live in balance without the abuses of the planet and of animals and plants that had become such a feature of the human experience. All of these things hurt me deeply because my overriding passion was to love and to bring love into the world in the best way I could do that. It was a major focus in my music, not all of my music, but a major focus in my music. And indeed, it was a major focus in my life. And those who knew me personally, those who knew me well, understood this. There are many that have come out since I passed and have spoken of these aspects of my nature. And yes, as I said earlier, you might judge me as having been a little naive in my life. But you know, in a way, I don't regret that. I was in some ways very childlike. And to me, children are one of the great gifts to the world. And I look forward to a time when all of humanity can live in innocence without the risk of being misjudged by some individuals who have a manipulative agenda for whatever reason, that whole consciousness is washed away. And you might say, in a sense, I was before my time. But in another, I lived in the time I was in because my music related to the time. And I was able to bring that as a gift to humanity, my music and my dance. And so this is my message to you. I wanted you to understand these aspects of me and the importance that they had in my life. And so this is all I wish to say, and so it is.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Richard. I understand we have a caller, I think, on line two. I didn't get the caller's name.
Jay is his name.
Jay, okay.
Yes.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great, and what question do you have?
Well, first of all, Michael, I love you so much, and I miss you dearly. I just want to say that you know who I am because you have come to my manager, and who lives out in Los Angeles, and you've given him songs, and there are words that have come from you, and this song that we have done, Earth Cry. I mean, how do we get these songs out to the world to continue healing and continue to touch people without going through the music industry, because the music industry is so evil and cruel, and so many people want to follow the ways of the music industry and how evil and cruel the music industry is, and there's got to be another way to touch people's lives through your music and me performing, also paying tribute to you as I have been performing for Legends in Concert as you for the last 2 years, and you know this, and your message was very clear, which was love and healing. And I want to do my part in helping you get your message out there. So I guess my question is, how do we get your music that you have sent to my manager, and not only your music, but my music as well, that signifies love, joy, and peace and happiness to the world?
Thank you, Jay. This is Jay that I have worked with, yes? That's works with Douglas, yes?
Yes, correct.
Good to hear from you.
It's wonderful to hear from you.
Small world, isn't it?
So let us see what Michael has to say. My dear Jay, I honor what you have undertaken to seek to carry forward my legacy, the legacy of my music. And I acknowledge that you have sought to, in a way, reproduce what I was doing, but then begin to put your own flavor upon it, yet within the same spirit of what I was doing. And yes, I have indeed connected with Douglas, as he has indicated to you. And I do acknowledge what you say about the nature of the music industry. It is so deeply infiltrated by those with a dark agenda. And I would say to you that the time in this difficult consciousness is not long. It is not long. It is but another year. And it is my vision that your music will perhaps get some exposure through the work that these two that are running this radio show will bring forth once rejuvenation has emerged upon the planet, that indeed your music can form part of what is included in some manner in the rejuvenation workshops that they plan. And this will give my message, if you will, further exposure to people, but also it will give your delivery of your evolution of that message from someone who is currently incarnated upon the planet, who carries, in a sense, the traditions that I began to carry those forward. And this I see as being a powerful platform. I also see other opportunities beginning to emerge as consciousness begins to change upon the planet, as these mixed agendas persist. And so I, on a broader level, would say to you that you only have a year or so to be concerned about this consciousness. A year comes and goes very quickly, as you know. So do not be overly concerned, Jay, about this. It will unfold, and what you have come forth to do will have life beyond the ascension process. So bear that in mind and do not get overly caught up. Seek to ensure that your message of love and light, is carried forth in your music. Do not allow others to distort that message with darkness, because it so easily happens in the industry, as you recognize. And so that is my counsel to you, to be careful who you work with and to seek to bring forth your key songs in a form that will connect with people as these changes unfold, to have people understand as best you are able, in the form of music, what these changes are about. And so this is my counsel to you, Jay. Work with Douglas. He is a special individual, as you already know, and allow him to support you in bringing forth your wonderful gift. And so it is.
Thank you, Michael. Well, how do you feel about that, Jay? That must make you feel a lot better, doesn't it?
It makes me feel 100% better. I mean, it's I'm at a loss for words, really. You know, I listen to Michael every day, and I always try to channel his energy, and sometimes I just want to, I just want people to really understand the importance of love and healing, and why be hateful and cruel to others when life is so short, and time here is so short, and it's really all about giving and what you're willing to do to help and, you know, make a change, as Michael has said, through his music and through his voice.
That's so true, Jay. I believe that also. It's all about giving, and it's all about love. So you reflect my heartfelt energy completely. Good luck to you, dear.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jay.
I have a question for Michael. I know that people on the other side, as Michael is, can influence people here and influence events. Here's a good example. He's giving his music to two souls that we are aware of. And I do believe that much will come from that. However, I want some other thoughts from Michael as to how he might be influencing people upon Earth. What's he working with right now?
I will say to you that the time I have spent with the two of you, both the previous show that I did and this one, has and will have a great more influence than you perhaps recognize. This opportunity to speak directly to humanity, and I know that those who listen to both the previous recording and this one feel my energy. If they have any knowledge of me, they feel my energy in the recording, because it is in the recording, and this does influence people to the truth of who and what I was. And so my message and my influence, not only through these radio shows where I can in a way speak directly to people, I am also seeking in any ways that I can to encourage peace, to encourage people to connect with their love for themselves and for each other, and in particular to acknowledge their love for children, because it is just such a natural process for people to love children. It is the natural response. It is only conditioning of various sorts that would have it be otherwise. And so I am seeking to influence these things to the best of my ability from this side, to, you might say, continue with the agendas that I had in these regards when I was present on Earth. So this is my primary focus.
Thank you. Another question comes out of that, Michael. Would you say that part of this great desire that you have to help children and love them and make them more secure, has that come from the fact that you had a difficult childhood? And when I look at your childhood, I feel sad that you really weren't allowed to be a child. And so how did that influence your life?
As you know, Carolyn, all choose their lives before they come. And so I chose to be born into that family to express my gifts. And part of the reason for choosing that family was because, in truth, I would lack that child-like experience as a child, so that it would trigger in me, just as it indeed did, this search for the nature of what it was to be a child, and in a sense led me to express it to an extent as an adult, but more particularly led me to connect with my love for children, because I came into that life with that intention of connecting with children and to, you might say, represent their interests to the best of my ability. And so you could say that challenging childhood that I had, where I really spent little time in truth as a normal child, that indeed that did influence greatly this unfolding, but indeed it was all part of a broader plan.
Thank you. Now, since you're on the other side, I would imagine that one of the things that you do is look into the records and try to understand situations. And I'm wondering if you did any of that regarding the plight of children. And if you did this, did you find any reasons as to why children have been so, in some cases, brutalized? They have no one to speak for themselves, really. And did you find something in your work that could explain why such innocence has been attacked?
I have come to see this as all part of the strategy of those who wish to control humanity. if you disempower children, if you have them not trust themselves and trust those around them, then they will carry that uncertainty through their lives. And for the most part, they will be largely disempowered as adults. And so they are more readily controllable. They will not question authority to the degree they would if they were strong, self-reliant, independent individuals. I have to say I'm very saddened as I have come to understand this agenda, but indeed this is a powerful agenda that operates right across the planet, and most people are unaware of it because they have been incited also, and they perpetuate it so often with their own children from their own lack of understanding of what they are inside of. And so it is primarily, as I see it, about control and domination and manipulation of not only the children but the adults that they turn into.
Yes, that's very perceptive. I agree with everything you said, but one thing that I find most striking is this idea of people not trusting themselves. I see it all the time. They don't trust their own power. They don't always look within and see how beautiful they are. And they buy into this concept that they're not as good as. And so these truly are very powerful belief systems. And considering this is such a problem, what, you might say, thoughts would you give to people to start looking within and starting to trust themselves and trust the beauty of what they are? You must have thought about some of this.
I have reflected upon it, and I have come to the conclusion that the only way to really address this is through the process that I know awaits humanity beginning at the end of this year, and that is this transformation in consciousness, which will awaken humanity to the truth of who and what they are, to begin to reconnect with their creator and to reconnect with the totality of their soul, and to really begin to reclaim all of their skills and abilities. And as these things unfold, this narrow, limited, disempowered perspective of the human being will fall away. Many will be in wonder for some time as this process unfolds. It will take them perhaps several years to truly claim the truth of themselves as ascended human beings with all that represents. But it will unfold, and I see no other way to address this than this transformative process. I cannot see how this can be solved within this consciousness. It simply is too difficult, and those who are driving these agendas have way too much power to be disempowered within this consciousness.
Yes. This goes back to the very early times in history. People don't think about it, but I'm thinking in particular of Atlantis and the Dark Ones that came during that time and have been the center of so much that has happened. And so Earth, which was supposed to be very different, has had a very long history of darkness. And like you, Richard, and I look forward to the time when that will all change. I say to the listening audience, if there is anyone who has a question for Michael, I'm asking that you call now. This is the second time that Michael has been on the show, and so we covered a lot of his life and times in the earlier show. And we kind of have gotten down to the end of our questions with Michael. So if you'd be kind enough to call in soon, Richard and I are going to move on to other things. So, Michael, if you would just stand by while Richard and I work with some other things, we would appreciate it. In case there are others who call in with some questions. Richard, something that Michael talked about, he used the word consciousness. You and I work a lot with different consciousness. And I would like for you to kind of give a bird's eye view as you understand consciousness and how it works. Can you do that, please?
Ooh, that's a big ask. Let me see how I can go.
A big ask.
Well, consciousness, in a sense, is perhaps where things begin. And what I mean by that is that most people consider that this cosmos and the creator of this cosmos, all there is, or prime creator or source, if you will, is where things begin. And in truth, there is a consciousness within which all of that exists, including all there is. And indeed, that consciousness comes before all there is. So that's why I say it's kind of the beginning of things in a way. And Callan and I have come to understand that indeed everything has consciousness. Every particle, every atom, every proton, every electron has consciousness. Every rock has its own consciousness. All of the organs of the physical body have their own consciousness. The cells of your body. Just looking at the human body, there are so many different expressions of consciousness that exist within it. As I said, each of the cells has its own consciousness, as well as all of the atoms that make up those cells. Your DNA has its own consciousness. You can communicate with the consciousness of the brain, of the heart, of any of the organs, of the skin. And so I give this to you as an illustration. And as I said, anything else that exists, the planet has its own consciousness, which is, in a sense, complementary to the role of Gaia. A crystal has its own consciousness. Your plants have their own consciousness. If you have pot plants or plants in your garden, they have their own consciousness. And indeed, that's quite measurable. There's been some fascinating work done with lie detector tests going back over 40-odd years now, actually measuring these kind of responses from plants in response to people's thoughts. And indeed, an intention that you might set, to an extent, has its own consciousness. It is the consciousness which actually gives life to your intention. And indeed, it is something which has recently begun to emerge in Carolyn's and my work, that perhaps we are actually able to, having set that intention or set a plan, to actually consciously, intentionally create the consciousness that goes with that plan or that intention and specify its behavior. Interesting stuff. Something that we've been playing with. And so, you know, even the background energy field from which all that we see, all matter, for example, arises from. That has its own consciousness. The universe has its own consciousness, and so on. And so it is a very, very multifactorial thing, you might say. And that consciousness can be communicated with. That consciousness of anything can be communicated with. It's quite fascinating. So that's a start for you, Carolyn.
Well, it's a good start, Richard, and you did well. I wanted to reemphasize a little bit to people how we can communicate with all forms of consciousness and tie in with that the work that we do teaching people how to actually do that.
Sounds like we have another caller, Carolyn.
We do, but I would like for you real quick to give that answer because I think it's so important.
I'm sorry, I missed what you were saying. What was your question?
Well, I would like for you just to touch base very quickly and tell people how that we can connect with the consciousness of our body and so forth and all these other things and how we actually teach people to do this.
Yes. Well, we refer to this as right brain magic, the ability. It's one of the aspects of the right side of the brain that is utilized for the purpose of communicating with other forms of consciousness. You might look at it in some ways as being an extension of your intuition, which is kind of this natural aspect of the right side of the brain through which all, you know, not all, but many forms of consciousness might communicate with us, beings on the other side, our higher selves, so many other things kind of prompt us in life through that intuition. And so taking this a step further to begin to open this up through the ability to recognize that all forms of consciousness can be connected with and they can communicate with us through that right side of the brain. And as I said, we call this right brain magic because it is pretty magical stuff. And if this is of interest to you, you can go to our website called rightbrainmagic.com where we talk about this and the sessions that we run are available from there.
Thank you, Richard. We have a caller by the name of Anita, and I didn't get what line she's on, but perhaps our friends at BBS can put her through.
Hello?
Hello, Anita?
Yes, it's Anita.
Do you have a question for Michael?
It's a question. I do. It's just, I mean, as a regular parent who's living, you know, day to day and raising a child, what is the best course of action to, I don't know, spread love and teach him, even though there are moments where it's hard and, you know, I'd like to influence, not to his scale, but what does he have to say to like regular parents day to day? What can we do to ground ourselves and to empower ourselves and be the best parents we can be?
I think that's a good question, Anita. And Richard, does Michael have an answer for that?
I'm sure he does. Let's see what he has to say. My overriding advice to you, Anita, is to let your son, I believe it's a son, Anita.
It is a son, yes.
To let him know that you love him, to tell him that you love him, to tell him every day that you love him. So many children live their childhood without ever hearing from their parents that they are loved, and yet some of them know that they are loved, but it is not communicated. And so this is a ground point for all parents to let their children know every day that they are loved. And, you know, as they grow, as they become teenagers, they will begin to protest. Oh, Mum, oh, Dad, don't say those things. I know, you know, you embarrass me. But they do hear it, and they do understand it, and they do value it. So that is the ground point for all parents, to let your children know every day that they are loved by you. It is so easy for parents to get caught up in the discipline, the setting of structure to try and put boundaries. And I'm not for a moment suggesting that boundaries are not important. They are extremely important. It is very important to set some clear, specific boundaries that you will not flex from, and then leave a lot of flexibility around that. Children need to be free to be children, to play, to experiment, to indeed take some level of risk. Some parents get caught up in being so protective of their children that they take the freedom of the child away in their efforts to protect them. And, you know, children are incredibly resilient. They fall over and bounce back so readily. Even if they break a bone, it heals very quickly for children. And I'm not suggesting you be irresponsible. I'm simply saying it's important to let them play and encourage them to play, to be free as much as possible, to encourage your son to inquire, to encourage his questioning, to ask him questions, to have him think about things. It is this thirst for understanding, for knowledge, that is also so important to encourage in your children, and to comfort them when they are upset and wounded in some way. When you are a parent, it is so easy to get caught up in all of the things that you think you need to do to make life work around your child, so that things need to be just so. And really, it is the nurturing of your child in so many ways that is the most important gift that you can give to your child. So this is my advice to you. The other piece that I would add is that in order to truly be able to hold your child in trust and love and protection, and to not bring negativity readily to your child, it is important that you also heal yourself, because every one of us carries scars from our childhood, and it is important to heal yourself, to heal your child self, and to reconnect with the truth of who and what you are, the beautiful, special soul that has come forth to incarnate as a human being, and the wondrous nature of that soul and the opportunity to be a human. It is an extraordinary opportunity, albeit at this point somewhat restricted because of the current consciousness. But understand what a gift that you are to yourself and to others, and begin to reconnect with your love for yourself. When you do these things, you will open the door to your ability to be a parent to your son in a more powerful way, without getting caught up in your own responses to what he is doing, to be concerned about what other people might say based on what your son does. So many of us get caught up in these judgments of others, and it is one thing that I sought to live in my life, was to live free and clear of those judgments of others. And because of the role that I had, the public life that I lived, it is part of what exposed me to those who wished to tear me down, you might say. But for most people, it is not the same issue. So these are my words to you.
Thank you, Michael. They're beautiful words, aren't they, Anita?
Yes, thank you so much. I really feel privileged to just speak with you, and thank you.
Before you go, dear, I would like to add something that I think is very important also. As a mother, I've raised children. And one of the things that I feel that it's very important to compliment your children when you find them doing something right.
Thank you. Okay, I have a tendency to forget that one. Thank you.
I think that's so important, because I used to remember when I was a student in school, golly, my teachers always found what I did wrong and always talk about that. Why don't they ever talk about what I do right? And it was something that was ingrained in me. I always tried to find something that I could compliment my children about. And actually, I'd like to add, Anita, that works very well with adults, too.
Carolyn, thank you so much. Richard and Carolyn, thank you for the work that you do. I mean, it's just...
You're welcome, dear.
I'm kind of speechless, which is not typical of me, so thank you.
Richard, we have 2 minutes.
Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, dear. We have 2 minutes, Richard. Would you like in those 2 minutes perhaps to mention our newsletter?
Yes. And I think we touched on this last week also, but off the back of one of these radio shows, actually, a few months ago, we had Yeshua come forth, and there were so many questions that came during the show and indeed afterwards that Carolyn felt prompted to begin a newsletter where you, the reader, you, the listener, could ask your questions of Yeshua and have them answered, have Carolyn bring forth the answers. And so that began, I'm not sure, maybe 4 months ago, and some of the answers have been quite extraordinary, truly wondrous answers. Some of them, for example, have been discussing the mission of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene in France. Others talking about those missing years, as people talk about, the years before Yeshua's ministry, what he was doing, where he was spending his time. And they really are amazing answers, so comprehensive and with a different kind of flavor than you perhaps might expect. The level of detail at times that he goes to is truly quite extraordinary. And so those newsletters are known as Yeshua Then and Now. And the first three of those are free. You can find a page to order them on the 2012 Countdown website if you haven't already done so. And if you like the material you're seeing, then you can subscribe to them after the first three. And they come 2 per month. And it's fascinating material, really, as I love reading them, preparing, you know, editing them and so on to support Carolyn in bringing them together. But I always love the material that comes forth. It's quite extraordinary.
Thank you so much, Richard. And as you can believe, we are at the end of the show. And so I would like to thank you, Michael Jackson, our listeners, and this is Carolyn Evers. You might say clicking off for the night.
Indeed, Carolyn. Well, thank you for your wonderful work as usual. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you next week. Bye for now. Thank you, Michael.
Bye for now.